Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as always, with my co-host.
We are a cohort.
Jack Barry, the captain, as always. Jack, how are you, sir? It's good to see you.
I'm doing well. Yeah.
Excellent.
Has it been gray up in your neck of the woods in Washington?
And I've absolutely loved it.
Yeah. It has been in the mornings, and then it kind of like fizzles out a little bit.
100%. 100%.
You know, that only means one thing, Josh.
Tell me.
Fall's coming.
Yes, it is.
Reformation month.
Oh, it's on its way.
I'm just jazzing
you up. Hype me up, baby.
I'm just jazzing you up.
Gas me up, baby. Oh, I'm so excited. Oh, dude, yeah. Once it starts getting a little fallish out there, and I start thinking, maybe I have to break out the flannel, possibly. Oh, maybe. And yeah, dude.
I'm so the best. So the new company that I'm at, I am so tempted. We have a gear shop that you can buy certain basically like branded material, like branded like clothing.
Yeah, yeah.
They have a branded flannel. I'm so tempted to buy that right now.
You might just have to get one of those. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. 100%. Yep. And if you happen to get your boy one of those for his birthday, I'd rep your company. Let's just be real. But I'm dressed right. Dude, I forgot what I was wearing when we started. Like, I look like I own some sort of Sicilian deli in New York. I look like I'm selling watches in a mall kiosk.
Oh my gosh.
I got the tank top, but the only thing I'm missing is a chain.
Oh my gosh.
Have to get on YouTube to see that full glory. Oh my goodness.
Wow.
It's okay. It's all right. Man. We're moving on. Jack, we got stuff to talk about today. But before we do, let's get into the business and give us this week's Reformatory Cigar of the Week. What do you got for us, my friend?
All right, folks. We are continuing. Obviously, August is for AJ Fernandez. Mm-hmm. And so we are going to explore a cigar. It's a newer line. It's called Dias de Gloria by AJ Fernandez. So I'm prefacing it because I want you all to start looking at this cigar that I'm talking about, because I have smoked this one before. And then also there's a lot of hype. There's a Brazilian version that is getting really high.
Spicy.
91 ratings
in
Half Wheel right now. Yeah.
Okay.
But I got to preface that because, there's some stuff to that. But anyway, so this cigar that I'm reviewing is called the Dias de Gloria Short Churchill. So this cigar was introduced in 2019 at what was then called the IPCPR. Yeah, I know. That's a handful. Trade show. It's now called the PCA trade show in Las Vegas.
Oh, nice.
It's basically a puro Nicaraguan. All binder, wrapper, filler is from Esteli, Nicaragua. It's actually got some, it's got some really good tasting notes to it. I've smoked this as well too. It's got like some chocolate kind of vibes to it, some barnyard, some sweeter kind of tasting notes here and there, some coffee notes, stuff like that. But Josh, I always throw this over to you.
Yeah.
What do you think the MSRP is
for one of these guys? Churchill?
Yeah.
Can you give me the dimensions? Because
a
Churchill
is a
can have...
6.5 by 48. The Robusto is a 5.5 by 52.
Okay. I'm going to go 1250.
Maybe for the Gordo.
Really?
Yeah. The Gordo is a little bit higher up there. The short Churchill actually is $9.
Dude, okay. That's way better deal than I thought it was going to be.
The Robusto is actually 10.
Okay.
The Toro's 11. The Gordo's 12.
All right. Hey, good for them. Good for them. I'd rather overthink and then be pleasantly surprised than the other way around. So.
Yeah. And why I say, like, look out for... So there is another version of this cigar called the Dias de Gloria, and it's the Brazilian.
Okay.
So it has a lot of Brazilian tobacco in it. It got a 91 rating on half... I have not smoked that cigar. Mm. That's why I'm just telling you about it. Pretty sure the MSRPs are probably going to be either the same or maybe a little bit higher.
Okay.
I have heard if you like to retrohale, it is a nice spicy meatball. it is like typical. So AJ Fernandez has been known for making kind of like, depending on which cigar.
Yeah.
Either it kind of varies. It's very earthy, chocolatey.
Yes.
Coffee tones like I just talked about in the Dias de Gloria.
Yep.
Or it's very spicy.
Right.
Peppery. The Brazilian one is peppery.
Okay.
So if you like to, if you like retrohales and you like spice and you like pepper, go for the Brazilian blend. If you like more mellow, not spice, go for just this regular Dias de Gloria line.
There it is.
But yeah, good overall cigar. Like I said, if you're looking for something like on that earthier, maybe coffee vibe, check out the Dias de Gloria short Churchill.
Okay. There it is. Go. That's it. Well, Jack, well done, as always, bringing the most excellent of cigar reviews to the podcast and to the people. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the Reformatory Cigar of the Week. And you know what to do, my friends. Go and smoke to the glory of God. All right, Jack. Today we are tackling a listener request, and they want to... hear us talk about the topic of contentment, specifically contentment in ministry. But I'm going to broaden it. I'm going to broaden it just to kind of contentment in general, because I think contentment is something that all of us struggle with to one degree or another. And we find ourselves able to be content in some things and not able to be content in other things. And I think contentment in the different stages of life, especially within the local church, is something that I think is difficult for a lot of people. I know it is for me, and I know it has been for me. You know, and contentment, I think contentment is one of those weird things in that it can often pop up in scenarios that you wouldn't think are obviously sinful or obviously wrong, right? Like you can want good things and have desires that are in and of themselves good, but if it's causing a heart of discontentment, that's when the issue pops up, right? So contentment in ministry, I'll just speak for myself. It's definitely something that I think is tied very closely to expectations, right? If my expectations are realistic, I find that contentment is easier for me. And now that's not the only thing that causes contentment, right? Obviously, it's a spiritual thing. But on a more practical side, when it comes to ministry or just, you know, everyday life, right? I think the rule applies to both. I find that expectations being set realistically really do help. When I first came into ministry, I had very unrealistic expectations. Mm-hmm. I think I had unrealistic expectations of myself, unrealistic expectations of my preaching, of the effectiveness that I could be in people's lives, unrealistic expectations of how quickly things would change, or things that I thought would remain for a long time ended up needing to change. Right? I think it's that I'll paraphrase the quote, but I think it's a Mark Dever quote where he says that most pastors underestimate what they can do in 10 years and overestimate what they can do in 6 months. Right.
Yeah.
And is that, and that's kind of speaking to that expectation coming in, especially when you're green and you're new. Mm-hmm. I think you have a lot of ideas and you can tend to be pretty idealistic about how certain things or certain scenarios or situations are going to go. And you're like, oh yeah, I'm going to be a pastor and I'm going to be able to do this and my schedule is going to look like this and I'm going to preach through this book and it's going to be awesome. And you realize very quickly how messy ministry is and how often, the best laid plans are still plans at best.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And how quickly those things can go awry. And if your expectations are such that everything has to look this way in order for me to either consider it a success or to find fulfillment in that, then I think you're going to struggle very much with discontentment. Ministry is very much a roller coaster of ups and downs and twists and turns and much less regimented than I thought it would be, right?
Yeah.
So just on a practical side, not even really getting into the spiritual nature of contentment, that's something that I have found when dealing with a heart that struggles with contentment and always wanting kind of the next thing, just because I'm a guy that gets energy from starting new things.
Yeah,
I do. Like, I'm a creative person. I love starting projects because it's fun. Finding longevity in projects is hard for me, which is again why I'm shocked every time we put an ep out, that we've been around for as many years as we've been now. We're on ep 250 something. That's crazy to me. And it's actually, it's encouraging to me to see that the Lord is actually working on my heart in that area. Because especially, when I was young, in high school and college, having longevity like we've even seen in this little podcast would be unheard of. Like, I love starting things, have a hard time finishing them. And a lot of that I have found stems from a heart that that struggles with being content with where it's at. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I can relate to you as well, too. I think one part of it, I think contentment, contentment really sometimes takes you for interesting turns too, because I remember when we left our previous church before we were at the local church we're at now, I feel like there was a part of me that wanted a certain mode of contentment. Because I felt like our last church kind of burned us out to a certain matter, because when we were serving on Sunday, I think we were serving, sometimes we would take both services to serve, and it was very production based. It felt like, versus I feel as though when we entered into our new church and started attending, I felt like there was more of a contentment and a health focus for us, which was interesting, because I've had conversations with my pastors before, and when I came into the church, my wife and I came into the new church that we're now members at, have been members at, the pastors were kind of like, I don't know if Jack's going to come in here like a bull in the china shop and start demanding stuff.
That's right.
Like, I need, because we had just started a leader's development program for guys to start developing them in preaching and doctrine and theology and sure. more like pastoral, like training them up in pastoral ministry to kind of like building the bench of men and people in the church, which I think all churches should do, to be quite honest. And if you're not doing that, I feel like you should have conversations with your pastors about that, because if there isn't a, if your church right now does not have a plurality of elders and it doesn't have a succession plan for what that looks like, you should definitely be forward thinking about that.
Sure.
But I think contentment for me looked like not serving, really sitting and kind of regaining some biblical theology health.
Yeah.
And some really listening to the sermons instead of actually doing anything.
Sure.
So I think contentment sometimes looks like that. Looks like, hey, sometimes contentment can be you're not serving because you just went through a crazy time and you're going through a time of transition and you need health.
Mm-hmm.
And health looks like you not doing anything right now.
Right.
As far as serving the church. Maybe contentment looks like you participating and you contributing to certain ways, but it means not serving at a certain time.
Yeah.
And
which is really hard when you have a desire and a heart for service.
Yeah, that I that was kind of tough for me, but I really had to pull in the reins.
Yeah,
and say no, I'm not doing this. I have to let the Lord really work on me and work on my heart,
mm-hmm.
and work on what we were going through in that transition process.
Yeah,
from leaving one church and joining this new church, and really had to take a back seat.
Right.
And yeah, you really have to pray for contentment. I think you also have to pray for wisdom, mm-hmm. because I think everything in your body will scream, I want to serve now. And you have to, if for the sake of the health of yourself, you might have to deny yourself and not have that for a while.
Yeah.
So, and just be content with being a member instead of a leader,
mm-hmm.
which mm-hmm. I think sometimes that can be hard for some people in some certain seasons of life.
Yeah.
I'm trying to segue this over to what it looks like contentment, maybe on the leadership side with you and like eldership. And you talked a little bit about like the next new thing coming.
Right.
I'm wondering what like contentment looks like if every Lord's Day service isn't this crazy. Like, I feel like
production
a lot
and
of,
show.
And baptisms happening left and right. And, you know, cannons going off with confetti filled with them. And
exactly.
Stuff like that.
Exactly. So, yeah. So. I mean, and it's a great question because I think, you know, something that the Lord has impressed on my heart over the years is that contentment cannot, it's not even should not, contentment cannot be determined by your circumstance.
Mm.
Right? Because our circumstances, they ebb and flow and they change, right? And what I have found is that even in the good times, and this is something that I really found in my life to be true, the good times when I'm feeling content because times are good, it's often not actually contentment. Mm. It's just I feel good because things are good. And then when those circumstances change, I feel bad, right? Mm-hmm. So I do think it's possible to have contentment in good times and to thank the Lord for them and to be resting in those good times and to have a heart of contentment. But we have to be very careful not to associate contentment with purely a feeling, because feelings are fickle and feelings are subject to circumstances and they will lie to you. Your feelings will tell you one thing when reality and scripture says another, right? So that's a truth that I have really come to grasp over the last couple of years and has really, I think, affected my ministry and how I serve the local church, right? Because the Lord has, you know, in his providence seen fit to, you know, just like you were describing with your experience, my ministry experience has been a roller coaster of very high highs and great joy and extremely low lows. right?
Yeah.
And I'm through that, I have found that I can't have an unrealistic expectation of what ministry is going to look like, because there's things that I love doing that the Lord has not called me to do, you know, on a regular basis, right? For one example, I love preaching. I love preaching. And I just got off a 5-week, four, because one of my other elders took one of them, but a 5-week sermon series. We gave our main preaching pastor, the guy that handles most of the preaching, David, we gave him a sabbatical. He's needed it for a while. Nothing bad, just rest. He needs some rest. Mm-hmm. He's been going like a freight train doing amazing things for the church, but he needs a break, and his family needed a break. So I said, hey, let's put together a 5-week series. And we'll go through those. Right. I loved it. Love preaching. It's something I absolutely love doing. One of my favorite aspects of ministry, but it's not the role that the Lord has me in. Now I'm thankful that I get to do it. I get to do it, on occasion, or I'd say even more on occasion. But I'm not responsible or in that role of preaching every Sunday. Right now, I've been in that role, so I know what that feels like and the ins and outs of that, and I love it, but it's not where the Lord has me. So I can make a decision. I can either feel as if, you know, I can either trust in the feelings and be like, well, you're not doing something every Sunday that you love doing, therefore you're not fulfilling what the Lord wants you to do and what he's equipped you to do, right? That's one way that I can address that, right? Or two, I could choose to look at it through the heart of contentment and realize God is in control of my circumstances. He understands the desires that I have, but he's equipped me for more than just preaching, right? Yeah. And he's equipped me to do more than just this one thing that I find energy and put value into, right? Mm-hmm. He's given me a heart for his church and a heart for his people, just like I pray he gives every elder, right?
Yeah.
And again, it comes down to those expectations. If my expectation of ministry or my understanding of ministry is so narrow that it doesn't include anything other than just preaching, I'm in it for myself. And I'm not in it for the correct reason, which is to serve, protect, and minister to the people of God.
Yeah.
Right? So when thinking about that in ministry, right, it's what is your role as an elder, as a preacher, as a pastor? It's to serve the people. It's to be a shepherd and to self-sacrifice for them, to give yourself to them. And the Lord is going to call you to do that in different ways in different seasons. Maybe he's doing that right now and you are the main preaching guy. All right. That's what the Lord calls you to do, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you have a heart for preaching, but you're at a church where that ministry is largely taken by other people. Okay, that's fine. But where else can you be serving? How else has the Lord equipped you?
Yeah.
Is the love that you have for your people dependent on how much you preach? Mm-hmm. You know, if the answer is yes, then I think we have some serious self-examining to do, yeah. Right? Maybe the Lord doesn't have you in ministry and you have the desire for it and you want it because it's what the Lord's equipped you to do. But you're not in a season right now where he's calling you to do that. It doesn't mean he's done with you. Yeah. And it doesn't mean that you don't have a purpose or a place in the local church. It means that the front line that God has called you to minister to has changed for the moment. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make your service any less valuable. It doesn't make you any less of an asset to the kingdom, right? Perhaps the Lord is putting this in your life to see and to cause you to ask questions. What am I finding my value and my identity in? Mm. Is it in a position or is it in the calling?
Yeah.
Right. And that's a question that I think every Christian, whether you're in ministry or not, has to ask themselves, right? What am I finding that contentment in? Is it the position itself, or is it that I get to be a light and an encouragement to my brothers and sisters, no matter how or where God determines that to be? That I think that answer to that question really does reveal where our contentment lies in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting too, because, I think there are periods of time in which I have seen it. And I don't know if this is helpful or not, but I know that certain churches do time periods for elders.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So they might do a period of like 2 years where like you can basically become an elder.
Yeah.
And then
some Presbyterian churches do that. You kind of have a
take them off.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I've seen most term limits. I've seen there's been there's one church down in Portland that does that, that's associated with Nine Marks, that does those time frames.
Sure.
You can become an elder. It's not like you're disqualified, but you're like, yeah, I need a break.
Sure, sure.
And I've seen that happen before. And I've seen other guys take breaks, and then they come back and become an elder again.
Yeah.
Maybe that's, I don't know, maybe that's a suggestion to you as well, too. Maybe, like, there's a certain time frame, like Josh said, that maybe you need to just evaluate.
Sure.
Maybe you can just ask, like, hey, I know I'm an elder right now, but can I take like a time off, maybe come back to this again?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that I'm done being an elder again in the future, but like suggesting that I think might help. I think another like side of this as well too is like the counseling part of this. I know Josh, like I think the like counseling as a pastor is highly underrated.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm just gonna say that right now.
Yeah. And undervalued, and, I would say. Yeah.
So I don't know if folks have this as well too, of like maybe they're not preaching and maybe they're just very discouraged of what's happening in the local church by their counseling sessions with members. Because I could see that happening as well, too. But if you're not, if you're wanting to preach more and you're just like the counseling go to, I can see why some contentment stuff might be hit, because all all you're dealing with is people's mess.
Sure.
Like the church's mess sometimes.
Sure.
And you're not up there proclaiming the goodness of what the Lord's doing,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
to people.
Yeah.
So I can see how contentment can kind of like, or questioning that,
yeah,
as well too, can kind of rear up every now and then. But
well, and I think that's where it's important to have and have good communication as elders, right? Y'all got to be on the same page, right? Because look, everyone, you're always going to have some overlap, right, with the giftings and the enjoyments that the elders have, right? You have some elders that don't thrive or do well behind the pulpit, but they do really well in a small group, right? Yeah. Or counseling. Praise the Lord for that, right? You have some elders that love behind the pulpit, right? And that's something that the Lord has equipped them for. Great, sounds good. You know, right? The Lord equips different elders to accomplish different things in the church, right? But when you have that overlap, that's where I think clear communication and an acknowledgement that, look, we both love doing this. How can the body be best served by both of our efforts, combining both of our efforts to serve the body, right? Because here's the thing, when you have that type of dynamic in an elder board where you have multiple guys that enjoy kind of doing the same thing, if the communication isn't there and that fact that dynamic is there isn't acknowledged and worked through, it's going to create a spirit of competition.
Yeah.
It's just what's going to happen, because one guy is going to, because of the role that he was in, maybe he was there first. Maybe, you know, he's more more of a type A personality, so he naturally gets to do it more. You're naturally going to have one guy that takes on more of that responsibility than the other. And if that communication isn't there, the guy who wants to be doing it but isn't, he's going to grow disgruntled.
Oh man, I have one side.
Yeah,
note.
Yeah. Please,
elders. I hope if you're an elder or a pastor, as part of a bigger like kind of cohort of pastors at your church, I hope y'all are friends.
Dude, what a great point.
Seriously,
man. What a great
because
point.
I'm just gonna say this right now. I have been our previous church. None of the pastors. I think one or two of them were like friends. and none of them had a friendship dynamic.
Really?
And it was so, like, I remember right before, like, I was thinking about this. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, none of these guys are friends. I think this is a huge issue. And this was, like I said, this is a carryover from Mars Hill.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that kind of business dynamic.
Yeah.
Has influenced the church so that everything is a piece of business and you all can't be friends. Like,
right.
No. Right. I think that if you're on a path, like, if you're within a plurality of elders, like, y'all should be friends.
Yeah.
You know, you like, know, that's, it's huge.
You know what?
I'm just going to say that's huge.
You know what convinced me of that very topic? COVID.
Oh, yeah.
COVID.
Oh, yeah.
Convinced me of that very thing, Jack, because.
And I know exactly what you're talking about, too.
Seriously, bro. Right? Like, I saw churches that had elder teams that on paper would agree theologically, like down, like down to the most minute things, right? But did not have a culture of friendship and brotherhood, and they it was horrible.
Yeah,
like elder teams split, not because they differed in theology, but because they did not have the tools in order to work through the differences that they had. Right. Yeah. And when you're friends with somebody, when you're when your commitment to them as a brother in Christ is no, like, we're going to work through this because this is what friends do. Yeah. Right. It's not an option right now for us to be splitting. Right. If you get that dynamic by being friends, good friends, not just coworkers, not just co-laborers, friends with one another. Yeah. Right. That's that is. That combined with the fact that, yeah, you are brothers in Christ, right? That foundation is really what you need to work through those differences. And COVID revealed that to me more than anything else. The churches that did well and that worked through things, the elders were friends and they were close to one another. The churches that split and had a really hard time with their elder boards, they weren't friends. They weren't close together. They weren't in fellowship or did things with one another. Yeah. And I have, like, that's something that I have. I think I've had that conversation probably with every single one of my elders that I'm eldering with now, is that, like, look, dude, I want to be friends. I need to be friends. I can't be working with you with the important things that we have to do and the important things that we are called to do. I can't just do that with a casual associate. Like, I got to be close to you. I got to be friends with you. I got to be able to joke around with you, have great times with you. I got to be able to share what's hard and what's on my mind and what's ticking me off. Like, I got to be able to have that level. Otherwise, honestly, this ain't going to work. And I'm not interested in serving in this level, this capacity with somebody that I can't be friends with.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in it. I've had to do it and I don't like it and it doesn't create anything good. So I think it's a great point, dude. I really do. Yeah. I think it's a great side note, but you know, and look, at the end of the day, right, we're called in, goodness, what is it? Philippians 4. I rejoice in the Lord greatly. And now at length you have received your concern for me. You are indeed concerned for me, but had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? If your contentment is based on your circumstance, it's not true contentment. And a heart that lacks contentment, whether it be in life or in ministry, is a heart that is not dwelling on the goodness of God. Right? So it's any type of contentment that is not rooted in the gospel or rooted in the person of Christ to find that contentment, right? It's like giving a thirsty soul a glass of sand. It's just it's never going to satisfy. Right. So whether you are in a time of contentment right now and you're finding great joy in what you're doing, or you're in a time where it's a valley and you don't know what God is doing, you don't know what his plan is, you thought you did and things changed drastically, find your contentment not in what you do, but in whose you are. And I think that's a lesson that took me a long time to learn, and I'm still learning it. I'll probably be learning it until I go into heaven. But if my contentment has to be that I am Christ's and Christ is mine and not in the circumstance that I find myself in. And, and that's a hard lesson to learn, but we'll be much more joy filled if we strive to learn it. So,
Josh, I think Big Eva has.
I think she has, my friend. Why don't you get us out of here?
Friends, if you enjoy our conversations about contentment or other particular issues that involve the local church and making the local church central to your life as a believer, you can follow us on the Sociables, where you can ask us different questions. You can bring up questions to us about a topic, about what we said. You can bring up episode ideas, ask us anything and everything. I don't think anything's off limits.
Nothing off limits. There are no limits to this podcast.
You can follow us on the Metaverse, the Facebook, if you will, the Instagram, which is what we're Chocolate Marshmallow, or the Sociable, formerly known as Twitter, X, if you will. All at the tag at Reformatory Pod. Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might view us in actual person, like maybe online.
That's right.
Maybe support us in other different ways.
That's right. Exactly. Well, we have a YouTube, ladies and gentlemen. So if you have listened to this podcast for a while and you had the really strange, weird thought, I wonder what these guys look like. Well, you can head on over to YouTube and you can see the video of this podcast. We put it up there every week. It's not just for Patreon supporters, but we put that video up there. Make sure to like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say. We really appreciate it. You can rate this podcast and review this podcast on Spotify and Apple. We appreciate that as well. If you appreciate the encouragement that you get from here and us encouraging you to press into the local church, even when it hurts, right? You could give us a little five stars for five solas. We'd really appreciate that. Last but not least, we do have a Patreon exclusive content. We call it the Podluck because it's like a potluck, but it's a podcast and it's a local church. And what's one of the best things about a local church is not, it's the potluck. It's the potlucks, right? So we combined it all into an amazing dad joke. Yes. And you get two bonus eps every week, sometimes some extra stuff thrown in there. We got an exclusive reformatory chat in which we share updates with each other's lives, share really cool things that are going on, right? You'll get some cool cigar talk. You'll get some nerd culture talk, right? Some Star Wars and all that good stuff, and sometimes some serious stuff as well. But all of that and more could be yours for $5 a month. That's it. A $5 holla, less than a Starbucks drink a month. All of that could be yours, all that exclusive content. And if you choose to do so, if you choose to make the Reformatory something that you want to support, our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.